You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Why do we have to cut these things so damn close?
Hi, I'm former Buffalo Bills wide receiver Don Beebe, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circling the Wagons podcast on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. Because nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hello, everyone. The Bills have won their first playoff game in 25 years against the Indianapolis Colts, 27-24 in front of 6,700 Bills fans in Buffalo. And we are going to talk about that today. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this recap episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and we're going to discuss the Bills' victory today. I just have to say, like, I'm just, after that ending, I just felt a sigh of relief. Like, I feel like that game took several years off my life. By the way it ended, I was worried that a lot of things, we're going to go right into the ending and talk about that. But guys, I mean, this is something that we've been hoping for since the beginning of the season. The goal was to get into the postseason. The goal was to win a game in the postseason and see where we go from there. They accomplished that today and just barely. Bills were six and a half or seven point favorites today, and they won by 3. It went down to the wire. Went down to that last final Hail Mary play. And, that was crazy. John, Mike, it's so good to have you guys on to talk about this. John, I'll start with you first. How do you feel after the end of that game, and how many years of your life did it take off?
I feel like every Bills game takes off years off my life. that was a tough one. It was a closer game than I expected, a tougher game than I expected. But man, what a feeling. Beating the Colts and the refs for the first Bills victory in 25 years in the playoffs. So good. That last drive, the Hail Mary, they were ready for it. Let me tell you, I knocked down that ball with authority. I mean, it helped that Rivers couldn't throw it into the end zone anyway.
It did help.
But, man, and then, you know, getting screwed on the fumble before that. But no, what a great feeling this is. And you know what? This is just the beginning of the next great NFL dynasty.
Yeah. Mike, what about you?
So many mixed emotions. I don't know how I would have dealt with it had they lost. So happy that they won. I still scratch my head about the fumble call. But I will say, we talked about it at the time with the Arizona game, and it kind of, for me, highlights how you never really know whether something is good or bad. Like, you don't understand the consequences. Like, I felt on that Hail Mary pass, like, as it's in the air, thank goodness for that Arizona game and how they've practiced how to defend a Hail Mary every day since.
It's crazy to think that loss could have actually turned the season around for them and led to them winning their first playoff game just with that, which is crazy. And like John said, it's a good thing. You know, it was Philip Rivers throwing in Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett might have actually made the end zone, you know, past the goal line. And yeah, let's go right into that series of events that ended that last drive before the Hail Mary pass. Because like Mike said, there was just a lot of emotions. I mean, the first one, I'll say, was like, it was either anger or confusion or whatever you want to call it, when Philip Rivers passed the ball to a wide open Zach Pascal. He catches the ball. He falls down. He gets back up. He gets tackled, and Jordan Poyer punches in and rips out the ball on the way down. And Travis White recovers the ball, and you're like, oh, wow, the Bills got the ball back. The Bills won this game. And then they decided to call the refs at the time, call the play. He was down by contact, that it wasn't a fumble. And not only that, there was like 30 seconds left in the game at that point. And because there was less than 2 minutes left in the game, there are no more coaches challenges. Like, they don't exist. They all have to come from the booth. And Philip Rivers ran up to that line and was going to call a play, as you would, as Josh Allen tried to do several times before the end of the first half and was unsuccessful because the refs whistled the play dead so they could review it. They did not do this at the end of the game, which was very frustrating. So Sean McDermott, thankfully, good old Sean McDermott, trust the process, McDermott, had a timeout ready. So he called a timeout. He yelled at the referees to look at that play to see if it was a fumble or not. And then, guys, when you were watching the instant replay and Gene Steratore comes on and he's like, oh, it's a fumble. Like, everyone says, the people in the booth say it's a fumble. The Gene Steratore says it's a fumble. It looks like a fumble to you. Did you really think?
You can understand when something's too close and you have to default to, there's not enough evidence to overturn it. I get that. But that was clear. And we've practiced this. We are very good at removing all bias.
No bias whatsoever. We might as well be referees.
Almost negative bias just to account for potential bias that might exist.
Yeah.
It was a fumble.
In fact, I'm almost biased against the Bills just so I try to make myself non-biased. But yeah, that was a fumble. Clear as day. Clear as day. I mean, barely. No, it was question. Yeah. I mean, he got up. He didn't go down.
Like Poyer, that's the play of the season.
Play of the season.
Wins the game. So smart. Like, lets him regain his feet just to punch the ball out. And you're like, wow, like, what a play. What coaching. Like, finally, the Bills are playing 3D chess, right? Like, we've watched other teams do it forever. And like, oh, this is incredible.
Yeah.
It finally comes to fruition, but.
Just to get stolen from us.
And at that point, you're thinking Music City Miracle, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. John?
Yeah, I can't disagree with anything you just said. obviously, I was having flashbacks at that moment of Music City Miracle and every other devastating Bills loss throughout history at that point, because I just assumed that I wasn't even thinking about the overtime field goal. I was thinking, well, the Colts are going to win now because the ref screwed us over.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, we had to beat the refs yet again. And this isn't the first time this happened this year. I mean, like, it was that one drive where, like, Allen had to score four times mm-hmm. a few weeks back. But the team is good enough now where they can overcome those things, which is great. And that's that part of it is encouraging, at least.
Do you ever think maybe the reason why it was really tough to watch that series at the end of the game, and especially that fumble and the Bills – you know, almost losing that game, is not only that, you know, obviously we're invested heavily as fans, but the Bills have so much more at stake, I feel, this season than previous seasons, being 13-3, being so good. Like, there's been times in the last few years where, not last year so much, but like when they broke the drought, like we backed into the playoffs. Anything on top of that was gravy. Now there's expectations. Now you came in as the second seed. Like, you can't just get bounced out by the seventh seed in the first game and then, like, you know, lose on a crucial play. Like, part of me was wondering if those referees that wore all black last year in the Texans game that just all of a sudden came out and decided that the Bills didn't get what was rightfully theirs in the end zone last season and just like, oh yeah, like just some, one of them's going to come out and be like, oh yeah, you know that play, you know how Micah Hyde just stopped that Hail Mary? Yeah, he didn't actually, because it was supposed to be a touchdown. Like, the stakes are so much higher than they've ever been. And part of that, like, crept into today for me. And when I saw everything on the line, I was just like, man, like, starting over a season after being 9-7 I can't say it feels different because I haven't been there in so long, but that would feel so much different than starting over 9-7 be like, oh, well, you know, we're on our way up. Like, we're almost at our peak at 13-3, almost 14-2. That would have been devastating as a fan. To have them lose that way with that call. And again, like we say every week, the Bills play two opponents. They play the other team, and the referees, and today was no different in that respect. So as far as the game goes in general, guys, I mean, we'll give our thoughts on the game in general, minus that last drive. But, you know, I thought there was a lot of, in my opinion, questionable play calling from the offense, just in the fact that they seemed to run the ball a lot more than I was hoping. And a lot of Josh Allen design runs and runs that just didn't seem to do well against a very good Colts run defense, whereas the Colts have a very suspect pass defense. And they were missing one of their best corners. And I was like, well, just pass. Just keep passing. And the Bills weren't moving the ball at all until the end of the first half when things started to go their way. There was that hard count that the Bills had, which never works. Does a hard count ever work for anyone besides maybe EJ Manuel? Like, were you guys surprised that actually happened at the time?
Well, I think it's worked before for Allen and McDermott, but they do it all the time, right? Like, I mean, they do it in the right spots, obviously, you know, at the end of a quarter or whenever, you know, they're about to punt, do a field goal. But I guess it's worth keep doing because, like, in my mind, I'm thinking, like, as they were doing it at that point, I'm like, oh, so they're just going to hard count it and then, like, kick the field goal, whatever. Everybody knows what he's doing now because they do it all the time. And apparently that one Colts player did not know. He jumped up. And the Colts, it's not like they had a lot of penalties today. They only had a couple of penalties. That was one of them, but it was a big one.
Oh, yeah.
I think they should continue to, like, we've criticized them in the past for not utilizing things more, like throw it deep if you know it's an offside or doing a hard count. And I think it certainly doesn't work often, but the cost benefit is so skewed. Like, it's like, how many free lottery tickets do you want? You very rarely win on a lottery ticket, but if it's free, you take it, right? So you lose nothing if it's third or if it's fourth down and you've got to punt it anyway. Yeah. Or you're going to kick a field goal and it just doesn't matter. And we saw today the incredible upside.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I will never say another negative thing about the hard count again, as long as whereas normally it's just like I'm screaming, like, why are we doing this? This is so, like, even I know that this is they're not gonna hike the ball. Like, the Colts players. Oh wait, I guess they don't know. I guess they don't know. He just ran off sides, and we got the first down before the end of the half. That's how the Bills got the first down, and they ended up scoring on that drive.
That opens the door to, like, the wider, like, I was very impressed with the game within the game, like, with McDermott, right? We touched on it briefly, but maybe we should come back to it. Like, taking the timeout on that crucial fumble. Like, we all disagree with how it ultimately was decided by the refs or New York, but him taking that timeout, maybe a lot of coaches don't do that. And just other points in the game, where it was like Allen pretending like they were rushing up to the line, like looking at the coach, like, hey, we're going to go for it. Like a lot, like the theater that is being interjected, that it seems like, I would say, very big strides are being made.
Yeah. It's so weird to see that this is what good coaching can do. Cause we've seen it happen to us. How many times in the past have we watched coaches just sit on their hands with either, you know, not challenging plays or in this case, not have enough timeouts to even call a timeout to challenge something like that, or to get the booth to review something like that. And then the game ends and we lose and we're just like, ugh, like, just same old Bills. It's like, no, I guess it's not the same old Bills when you have competent coaching and players running the plays. And yeah, good point, Mike. I thought, I thought the Bills were trying to run the ball. What'd you guys think about that? I mean, to me, it's like the Bills didn't have any offensive success until they really started passing the ball. Do you guys think that they were running the ball way too much as I did? And I think that comes down to a criticism of Dable, I would imagine.
I don't know about too much, but maybe in the wrong spots. They did have 35 pass attempts to 21 runs, and only 10 of those runs were from running backs. But that might be part of, you know, the Colts having a really good run defense and the Bills thinking, oh, maybe we can get our rushing yardage more from Allen because of that. But there are a couple times where it's like they run it like three times and punt like the old Bills. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Why on third down did we not at least pass it? Like, I think they passed enough versus running it, but like they didn't. in the right spots. They didn't necessarily pass it when they should have tried to do that. I just didn't get that part.
I didn't mind it to the extent that you guys did, in the sense of I thought the Bills were the far superior team in all three facets. And you've got a 2-play and a 7, and it's the underdog that has to be risky and make those risky bets pay off. When you are supposed to win, I don't think you need to take the chances. Like, the Bills got up, and I was happy to – I wish the defense would have played better, of course, to hold that lead. But it's the underdog that has to be – make those plays.
That makes sense. That makes sense. If you're the better team, you just play your normal game, and the other team has to find a way to play – rise above what the level that they're normally playing at to beat you in a normal spot, unless you either sink down to their level or worse – to give them a chance to get it. What bothers me, though, to John's point, is the first down run, they'd have like an 8-yard run. I'm like, okay, great. Now it's 2nd and 2 or 2nd and 1. Like, pass. Like, that's the perfect time for a long pass. And instead they'd run it. Okay, they didn't get it. Now they have to run it. Or they don't have to, but they do. And then it's like 3 runs. It's just like, what are we doing here? You know, you could have passed at any point and then had a better chance. Like, I think they're thinking they're going to get an 8-yard run or something better every time. It's like, no. That 8-yard run was a fluke. You won't get that the next 2 times. Let's change.
The strength of our offense, which is weird to say, is passing. So on any, we can't go 3 and out and not throw 1 pass. That's just ridiculous.
I like, in the sense of, certainly the Bills, are they first in the league in passing on first down? Like, extremely pass-heavy offense, of course, right? But we've watched the Patriots change their MO for the last 20 years based on their opponent. Like, I do see, like...
But that's the thing.
What?
But that's the thing. Their opponents were great at stopping the run and terrible at the pass. So that it's like Brian Daboll was almost trying to get too cute or outsmart himself. You know, like, he's like, no, it's just like that famous airplane line, like...
Oh, that's just what they'll be expecting us to do.
Just pass it like crazy for over 300 yards like we do every week. It's like, no, that's what they'll expect. So now we got to run the ball on them. It's like, no, just do what you got to go in with multiple game plans. But the first one should be do what you do. And if that doesn't work right away or whatever, then you have to switch it. I don't know.
I guess I don't fully agree that they didn't pass the ball. Like, Allen was the youngest player in NFL history to throw for 300 yards and complete 70% of his passes in a playoff game. Like, it's not like, oh, he had 10 attempts and 150 yards.
True, but I think that there was a lot left on the table. I think they could have done it a lot more, and I think they could have put this game out of reach if they had just started the game like that. And I don't want them to abandon the run completely, but use it more intelligently when it makes sense, more play action or something like that. And when you're just killing them, because that's when good running teams like the Colts can stay in games, is because you don't get up by enough points that they can still run the ball on you and still catch up. Like, the Bills were up by 14 points. That wasn't enough, because then Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines are running up like 20-yard runs. Like, I think Bills can't stop shit. And it's like, that's when I
would have liked to have seen more runs from, like, Zach Moss. I mean, you know, before the injury, obviously. My issue was certain plays where they chose to run where I thought they would have passed. I think the amount of passes was fine. They didn't need to necessarily increase that just because, but I think there were certain spots where I would have liked to have seen them run, or I mean pass, instead of just run into a brick wall again.
Yeah, I would have liked to see them pass the ball a lot more earlier in the game and then just get ahead, get the lead, and then, I don't know, still pass a lot, but not as much, maybe? I don't know. It just goes, I mean, that's how they've won games. That's how they've been winning, you know, that's how they won 9 out of 10 games to end the season, is by passing the ball for the most part, unless they were going against a team that couldn't stop the run, like you're talking the Patriots or the Seahawks even. No, the Seahawks, but, you know, one of those teams where it's like they couldn't stop the run. So the Bills, even though they don't have a really good run game, they found a way to, you know, gain 160, 180 yards on the ground and still win. Like, this wasn't one of those teams. This was not the team to do that to, and play to your forte, you know? Like, the Patriots do it, Mike, to your point. Patriots do it when it makes sense, not when the odds are in their favor to do what they normally do. They don't outthink themselves. They're not like, hey, we could kill this team by throwing, like, 5-yard passes to Edelman all game long and then run.
I guess I'm ambivalent. Like, I kind of agree, but kind of don't. Like, you'd never know. I don't think it's explicitly dependent on the opponent. Like, I think I don't have an issue with.
Yeah, you don't have an issue with it. I get it.
Yeah.
Get it. You're less upset by it. Okay, that's just me. Me and John a little bit.
You would know exactly what to expect if you're purely looking at your opponent's how they stack up.
Strengths and weaknesses, yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Even though they play directly into your strengths and weaknesses.
Well, that would certainly be unexpected, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They would never see that one come. Let's go into our stats of the game.
Stats of the game.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Well, people can come up with statistics to prove anything, Kent. 40% of all people know that.
And I liked how they used Helen running, too. Oh. Right? Like, during the regular season, not a huge risk is him getting injured. And I think they've tried to protect him more recently. But now the gloves are off, and he did a couple of times. He got stood up where we've seen other times, like he'll cut one way and they got him this time. But I like seeing the run.
Yeah. On that one touchdown in the second half, or right in the second quarter before the end of the first half, Allen had a 16-yard run and then he had a 5-yard touchdown run to go up 14-10 before the end of the half.
It is just such a different dimension to the offense, and it's very difficult for defenses to account for it.
Yes, agreed there. All right, let's go into our stats of the game. For today's game, Josh Allen, 26 for 35, 324 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. That is a completion percentage, as I do it on my calculator, of 74.2%. So, hey, Mike, he's passing the ball pretty well. Maybe he should have done it more. No.
That doesn't make sense.
He was doing it really well. He should have been doing it more. So the game wasn't in reach. That does make sense. Josh Allen was the leading rusher for the Bills.
Like, say I can get from Buffalo to Rochester. I can go 150 miles an hour, and I do it once successfully. Does that mean I should keep doing it?
When you do it successfully, and that's the best way to get from Buffalo to Rochester, and you never have any issues doing it.
A terrible example.
Because it perfectly proves my point.
Here's the example that Mike's thinking of. You go 150 miles an hour, but like the speed traps only can detect 120 miles an hour. So 150 is actually the best way to go because you'll never get caught by the speed traps. It can only detect 120.
But that presupposes your biggest danger is a speeding ticket, not wrapping your car around a tree. Throwing the killer interception that's returned, that's a taint, but not a taint you want to see, a taint in the other direction.
Oh, I would never want to see that taint. That does not sound like a taint I'd like to.
We could be having the discussion like, oh, they threw one pass too many and true. It was tipped, and that was it.
Josh Allen, the one of the MVP candidates for the season, we're talking about passing less. Is that what we're talking about right now?
And this was 20.
The pass in the end zone could have easily been picked with a second hand under it, right? Like, it was called on the field, an interception.
Yeah.
Like, fortunately, it was overturned. We all agree it was overturned, but it didn't have to be that.
We're talking about
Allen ran it in for the touchdown, no question. So like it adds an element of risk, that a tail end risk in terms of flipping the game that you're not fully appreciating, perhaps.
Right, but that one play is a sample size of one. You look at the whole season, he's in the top 3 for MVP candidates, maybe top 2.
But the season comes down to one pass in this game. Like, it's not a seven-game series. It's like one mistake.
Like pass, and it could have been over. Seven more points.
But
yeah, and Allen did have
a beat him.
But you can go either way with that argument. But the point is, he could be MVP.
So you have to let him do what an MVP does.
A big reason he would be considered, like, if you removed all his rushing touchdowns and rushing attempts, he probably wouldn't be in the discussion. Mm. Like, I just don't think you're not killing Dable, but
no.
It seems very nitpicky to me. And then just if we expand out the conversation, like, even if you're right, maybe it keeps him in Buffalo another year. So who knows?
Well, I don't know if I want him in Buffalo if this is how he calls playoff games.
Yeah, I'm not blaming Dable for anything. I'm just saying that there were a couple, two or three plays where I thought maybe this should have passed there instead of run. I don't think, like, as an overall for the whole game, this should have passed a lot more.
Yeah, I think
two or three plays that stick out in my mind, they should have maybe called a pass play there.
Yeah, I think that's more of my decision. I thought it was suspect. I am nitpicking because the Bills did win and they did show up well offensively, all things considered. I guess I was just curious why it seemed like he took the hard approach as opposed to this more simpler approach. You know, if the simpler approach doesn't work, maybe you take the hard road, but yeah, all things considered, yeah. It obviously wasn't a terrible game because they found a way to bounce back when they couldn't, you know, move the ball that well in the first half. They found a way to end the half in the first on a good drive, and then they ended up, you know, obviously pulling it out. And the defense started. Defense was decent all game, not amazing, but leading rusher for the Buffalo Bills going into stats of the game. Leading rusher Josh Allen, to Mike's point, 11 carries for 54 yards, one touchdown, 4.9 yards per carry. Devin Singletary, the next leading rusher, 3 carries for 21 yards, 7 yards per carry. And obviously, we'll keep an eye on that ankle injury for Zach Moss, but it looks like Devin Singletary, he was carted off, so that obviously isn't a good sign. Probably not going to be back next week. Not sure how the rest of the postseason is going to go. That makes Devin Singletary the lead back, so it gives him a chance to shine and expand on.
I heard that was a high ankle sprain. He could be out 2 to 3 weeks at best to make it back for the AFC Championship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, geez. Got it. Zach Moss today, 7 carries for 21 yards, 3 yards per carry. Leading receiver for the Bills, of course, none other than Stephon Diggs, 6 receptions on 9 targets, 128 yards, and 1 touchdown. It's an absolutely monster game for Stephon Diggs. He looked great out there. Gabriel Davis, 4 receptions, 85 yards on 4 targets, had some amazing toe-dragging receptions. Cole Beasley, 3rd and goal, 7 receptions on 7 targets for 57 yards. Hey, I know you guys are rolling your eyes over there, all right? But one of the 2 third-down conversions that the Bills had was to Cole Beasley. And you guys keep tweeting us and tweeting me specifically because I run the social media Twitter account, and I retweet every 3rd and goal that you tag us in. Much to Mike and John's chagrin, they hate it, and at least a few of you love it, like I do, of course. Zach Moss, 4 receptions on 4 targets for 26 yards. Devin Singletary, 3 receptions on 3 targets for 23 yards, getting the running backs involved in the passing game. Dawson Knox, 2 receptions on 3 targets for 5 yards and 1 touchdown. There's a one amazing touchdown catch where it looked like Josh Allen was going to run right into the line, and then he decides out of nowhere he's going to pull back and actually, like, it wasn't really a pass. It was more like a big shovel pass or a push pass to the end zone to a Dawson Knox that I don't know if Dawson was really ready for it or whatever, but he caught it. He caught it because Josh Allen didn't put it in his numbers and didn't give him an easy catch, and he caught it very well. So props to Dawson Knox for catching that touchdown. John Brown, I'm just going to mention this. Normally I don't mention receivers that don't have any yardage, but John Brown had 0 receptions for 0 yards on 4 targets. So not a great game for John Brown. At least I remember at least one catch he could have had It went right through his hands. Josh Allen, even though he had 74% completion percentage, he had a lot of drops by his receivers today, it felt like, as did Phillip Rivers. Let's go into the Colts side of the ball real quick. Phillip Rivers, 27 for 46, 309 yards, two touchdowns. He had a lot of drops today. I'm sure you guys will agree from his running backs. There were times where it was like a screen pass and he hit him right in the hands, either Jonathan Taylor or Naeem Hines, and those guys had room to run and they did not catch it. There was at least, I want to say at least two, maybe three of those instances, and thank God, because they were just tearing the Bills apart in the run game and the screen game. Jonathan Taylor had 21 carries, 478 yards, one touchdown, 3.7 yards per carry. So did a decent job against Jonathan Taylor. He just had the workload. 21 carries. Naeem Hines, on the other hand, 6 carries for 75 yards, 12.5 yards per carry. Colts leading receiver, Michael Pittman, the rookie, 5 receptions for 90 yards on 10 targets. He had a couple of drops. He had that one big drop in the end zone on 4th and goal that led the Bills. Basically, it was a 14-point swing because the Bills came back on that drive and then scored a touchdown on that to end the half. So that was a huge drop by Michael Pittman. Jack Doyle, 7 receptions for 70 yards, 1 touchdown on 9 targets. Zach Pascal, 3 receptions on 5 targets for 37 yards and 1 touchdown. Trey Burton, 3 receptions for 34 yards on 3 targets. T.Y. Hilton, only 2 receptions. Tre'Davious White just all over T.Y. Hilton today. 2 receptions on 5 targets for 32 yards. Then Mo Alie-Cox. I mean, the Colts were just passing to their tight ends all day long. They should have just run like 4 tight end sets. I don't know if you can physically or legally do that, but the Bills had no answers for the Colts tight ends today. They were just eating them up. As they have all year, the Bills were second worst in the league against tight ends this whole season. So big surprise there. And yeah. All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. After we get back, we are going to go into our Sweet Sassy Molassy plays of the game, our Gettysburg plays of the game, our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers, and our giveaways. So stick around.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward travel guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. This is our recap show, our victory recap show, the first playoff victory recap show we've ever done. We've only done 2 actual playoff recaps, and those didn't end so well. So this is weird to be on this side of the fence, and it feels good. I'm in such a better mood because when the Bills lose, it's just like, ugh, we have to talk about it. We have to talk about this playoff loss. This feels infinitely better. So let's start off the discussion with our Sweet Sassy Molassy plays of the game.
Sweet Sassy Molassy, get out the checkbook and pay grandma for the rub down.
Our Sweet Sassy Molassy plays of the game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. And John, I'm going to start with you. What play in today's win did you have as your Sweet Sassy Molassy play of the game?
Well, Nate, for me, it was when the Bills were close to the goal line, Josh Allen on a design run. It was a broken play. He was going nowhere, and all of a sudden he decides to throw it out to Dawson Knox, and he somehow manages to catch it. Touchdown. I was like, sweet sassy molassy.
I didn't mean to bring that up earlier when I mentioned Dawson Knox. Jeez, I feel like I just kind of stole your thunder on that one because I described it so much better than you did just now. No, I'm just kidding. It was...
Wow.
I'm just kidding, man. That was a good one. I did not think you'd pick that one. That's why I said that. I felt like you were going to pick something else. Mike, what about you? Was that your sweet sassy molassy play of the game?
Maybe it's recency bias, Nate, but for me, it's Darrell Williams recovering Allen's fumble. Like, Allen, for all his ability to run, jeez, what an inopportune time to have a second defender. Right, like, brilliantly evades the first guy, runs right into the second guy, and it was lost at, like, 23 yards because he came up second and 33.
Yep.
But, a completely different game if Darrell Williams doesn't fall on the ball. Well, fall next to the ball and then pull it in. Like a mama bear scooping a cub back into the cave.
That's a good analogy right there. I'm going to give it... I'm surprised you guys didn't do this one, but I'm glad that you didn't. I'm going to obviously go with the Micah Hyde batting the ball down in the end zone. The Bills, obviously, you know, won the game for the Bills, but it was just... The Bills learned how to defend it, and... like John
mentioned,
that was
authority too. That was a double-handed tomahawk spike.
It was. He made sure that it was almost like a volleyball spike, right? Like where you try to.
He may.
It was like.
Was she the tall one?
Who was?
I said like Misty May. Was she the tall one? I don't remember.
I don't even know who Misty May is. It was. Oh, the beach volleyball player for the Olympics.
U.S. Olympic gold medal team. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. The tall one.
I think she was the short one.
Oh, aren't they all tall? Don't you both have to be tall to play that? Yeah, you're right. That's a good analogy too, Mike. It was with authority, which is, I didn't think about it till you just mentioned it. Yeah, you have to bat it down because if you just kind of softly bat it down, then somebody else can scoop it up and run it in for a touchdown.
And you got the sense that even in real time of that play, there was the sense of the Arizona monkey is off the bat, like we did it, like with it was just with such authority.
Yeah.
Didn't you get that sense? Like it wasn't just the play. It was,
let's show you that we can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's put all of the doubters all of the naysayers to rest about the fact that we can't do this. Yeah. By proving that we actually can. Yeah. It was a perfectly timed ball by Micah Hyde, who was before, you know, received passes or he's on the hands team for the onside kick recoveries. Yeah, it felt.
Did you guys wait a cut? Like, I'm not going to celebrate. I'm going to wait to see if there's a flag.
Yes, yes.
I did.
Yes. Because he did come up behind the receiver and knock it down, but like, and it was fair because he was playing the ball, right? But you know the refs, right? They love a close game. They don't like the game to get too far out of reach, and they hate the Bills.
I'm going to count to 10. Going to count to 20. All right, Alan's doing like in front of the microphone. Okay.
Okay. Okay, the people are exiting Bill Stadium. Now we can celebrate. Concession.
Because you just got the sense of like over the last 25 years, maybe it's just the Music City Miracle so ingrained of the sense of at first you're thinking, okay, the worst that can happen is a tie with no, the Colts have zero timeouts. They got to go the distance. Like, okay, it's shaping up. Worst can happen is a tie. And then after that fumble call, you're like, oh, man. It's going to be – Bills are thinking short pass the perimeter. Meanwhile, Rivers, long bomb.
Yeah. That was crazy. He did like two passes before that that weren't anywhere near the receivers. He couldn't – those guys weren't open. The Bills did a great job defending that. But, yeah, Mike, I was thinking that, oh, yeah, this is like – oh, this – what is that, PTSD? Yeah, PTSD of all the years of being a Bills fan, like shell shock, like you're like in the corner, like, you know, it's just like, this is not how this is going to be, right? Like this is, man, good call.
Didn't it feel like, oh, we should be, it feels like we're up by 21. We have nothing to worry about. And then, oh, wait, we're up by 3.
Well, that's how the last few games have gone. Like we haven't had to worry about anything towards the end of the game. And now it was, yeah, came down. It's so crazy to think about it, because Josh Allen has such a good arm, that they were like, oh, maybe they'll bring Jacoby Brissett in. Like, they have like a Hail Mary specialist. And then you're just, then you see Philip Rivers float that one up and you're like, oh, that's why they did that. Sweet Sassy Malassie plays the game, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Let's go into our Gettysburg plays the game.
Four score and 7 years ago.
Gettysburg play of the game is brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. And I am going to, let's see, is there one? I mean, I feel like the game kind of went back and forth several different times. I'll go first real quick because Mike's Sweet Sassy Malassie play of the game was actually my Gettysburg of the game, because I thought that if Allen had fumbled that ball in the fourth quarter, and while getting sacked, and Darrell Williams did not jump on that ball, I think we're talking about a whole different game, because now instead of, you know, the Colts getting the ball back with like a minute left, like they did, because the Bills ended up, you know, moving the ball and then punting it. Corey Bajorquez pins them within the 20-yard line. I think it was like at the 14-yard line. Then the Colts have to move the ball back to field goal range. If Darrell Williams doesn't jump on the ball, the Colts are like within like 8 yards of being within field goal range. Like, it's ridiculous. So to me, that was my Gettysburg play of the game, which, you know, if that play doesn't happen, then maybe we see a different output altogether.
I feel like Gettysburg, like, that's a great description of that play, and that's why it's play of the game. But a Gettysburg is like the Bills moving forward
instead of, you, oh, gotcha,
like maintaining the status quo.
Yeah, they were moving forward and continuing to hold the lead. That's how I will. John, what's your Gettysburg play of the game?
Oh, arbitrate this dispute.
I concur with Mike.
Yeah, of course you do. You traitorous general. John, what do you have for your Sweet Sassy Malassie play of the game? Well, or no, Gettysburg. Sorry, Gettysburg play of the game. Whew.
Gotcha. I'm going to go with the hard count play. If it wasn't, you know, if any other team would have just kicked the field goal, the Bills, they do their hard count, Colts go off sides, they get the touchdown. Otherwise, the Bills either kick the field goal or even miss the field goal, either way giving the Colts a chance to score before the end of the first half.
Great pick.
It's a good one.
That's what she said.
John, or Mike, is that your Gettysburg play of the game then? The hard count?
Definitely.
All right. Well, I wouldn't say definitely, but yeah, that was a good one. Only because you both agreed on it. I put this up on Twitter. I asked Twitter, what do you have for your Gettysburg play of the game? If you're not following us, please do. We're at CTW Pod. So I'm going to read some of these off real quick. Dave Thorpe write, that stop when they were up 10-7 and went for it on fourth and goal. We then drove 96 yards for a touchdown and the lead before halftime. How big was passing an easy 3 points now? So that was also a good point, because that led to the drive that Mike and John are talking about, that led to the hard count, because that fourth down stop by the defense was was a huge play of the game, huge swing in momentum.
It was huge, but I don't know if you can fault Reich, right? Not many teams can drive 96 yards like the Bills just before halftime, and it took a lot of plays that could have went either way, right? We've already talked about the two toe touches that were, if you wear a half a size bigger cleat, they're out, right? Like, it just took, and the Bills, the way they're scoring coming into this game, if you're Frank Reich, like, you got to keep your foot on the gas.
Yeah.
I don't think it didn't turn out correctly, but that's with the benefit of hindsight.
Yeah. I don't hate that call by Frank Reich, but obviously, you know, with hindsight, it was not the right call. And it was only not the right call because Michael Pittman dropped the ball. I mean, it was right in his hands. It was a great play call. Philip Rivers.
I think you just overthrew him a little, don't you? Like, he laid out.
Yeah, true. I guess.
I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just, man, game of inches.
Game of inches.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, going into it on third down, I thought the Colts, okay, this is four down territory for them. But they lost yardage on third down. So then I thought, okay, maybe they do the field goal here and get the points, but they didn't. So it's not exactly what I would have done on that particular play. And that's not the only Frank Reich miscue, I think, that happened today. I think that there were multiple plays. You had the the delay of game punt call instead of just going for it on fourth and five in Bills territory.
Yeah.
That probably should have been a go for it play instead of the other fourth down play that they did go for it on. There was the timeout usage, you know, the discipline, the guy biting on the hard count play. Like I think Reich didn't have a great game today.
Remember the Bills were rumored to potentially go after Frank Reich when Sean McDermott was being interviewed. I mean, and who would have ever thought that we'd want at that time Sean McDermott over Frank Reich? And absolutely so happy that McDermott doesn't make those same calls. At least anymore, he doesn't.
Don't get me wrong. Frank Reich has been great for the Colts so far and everything. But I mean, today just, you know, and I obviously I'm rooting for him too, but I'm sure you guys are too. But
yeah,
today was not a good day for him, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. Today was the only day I didn't root for him, actually, his entire life. Buffalo Ceilings writes, the Diggs TD was just a perfect pass and put them up 14, which I foolishly thought was ball game. Well, you thought they would continue to score more points like that, and they didn't. Edgar, Donnie, well, they scored more points, but they just didn't, you know, the defense just didn't stop it. So Edgar Donnybrook writes, the Colts dancing after that touchdown. The offense looked alive after that. Private Joker 2003 writes, the fourth down stuff that turned into a Bills touchdown to end the first half. That changed the very specific, by the way, Private Joker, that fourth down stuff that changed the momentum until the Bills' miniature fourth quarter collapse. Oh, yeah.
What do you guys think the 2003 means? Is that the year he was born? Is that just a high watermark? Has he been chasing it ever since?
He's,
like what?
He's in the Marines, so I think, or at least the military. I can't remember if he's, maybe that's when he joined the military. I think he said he was in his 40s, I want to say. That's a good question. His Twitter handle is at 2003 private. So I'm wondering if that was when he became a private in the military in 2003, right? He couldn't have been born in 2003 because he would just be able to join the military this year.
Don't you start as a private though? It's not inconceivable.
No. I wonder if he's still a private then since 2003. That's not good, right? That doesn't happen that often.
You'd automatically get something after that.
You've got to, right? I know he's definitely not a private now. That it would be that would be crazy, but yeah. What's the next step up? Second private? First private? I honestly don't know. My dad was in the military. I have no clue. Steve Tharp writes, the Colts going for it on fourth down near the goal line. The field goal would have ended the game in a tie, and instead the defense came up with a stop thanks to a bad throw from Rivers. So this is the name of a podcast that wrote in. The Violet Wanderers, Hear Queer Used to It, writes in, the recovery of the Josh Allen fumble. Yes, they had to punt, but had Williams not reached out and pulled that in, things could have gone south quickly. Thank you. Yes, 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 yes. They agree with me. Jamie McAndrew writes, Wall of Fame. Oh, Jamie, this isn't where you write the Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame. Hopefully I remember to come back into the other part and read. Big R writes in, Nate, I'm deceased and in heaven, no time for this. Well, thank you for tweeting at us from heaven. Hopefully you can watch the next game up there. Rob Zach is writing in, definitely that hard count, which Mike and John mentioned earlier. Dingo 15 writes, why do I think of Seinfeld when I think of Dingo?
I thought the exact same.
I wonder if Dingo 15 says that on purpose just for the, what was the line?
Like a dingo ate your baby or something, right?
Maybe a dingo ate your baby.
There you go.
Thank you, John. He writes a fumble recovery by Williams. And Lucas Smith writes in, the Pascal fumble. Except in this version, the Battle of Gettysburg is overturned by the Confederate refs. Nice. Nice. So, okay. All right. Well, those were the Gettysburg plays of the game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. So thank you guys for playing along with that. Now let's go into our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers. Let's start with the Wall of Fame in today's win. Wall of Famer brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Mike, I'll start with you on this one. Who's your wall? Who are you going to put on your wall? A wall of fame, by the way, that was actually filled, you know, at Bills Stadium with 6,700 Bills fans for the first time all season. Who would you put on your wall of fame in today's win?
Wall.
For me, Nate, it starts and ends with Allen. I think the passes were crisp. We're very lucky to have a quarterback who can run when he needs to like that. Continued to be dazzled, I would say, by some of the how he can evade defenders behind the line. Just adds a complete different dimension to the game.
Absolutely. Minus that one fumble. I mean, yeah, just an amazing game by Josh Allen. John, what about you? Who's on your wall of fame?
You asked me for my opinion, then you shit all over.
I said that was the only bad play all game, which means that he had an amazing game. But I gave him the 74.2% completion percentage. I said that they should have used him more. If you remember at the beginning of the episode, he should have been used more passing the ball. John, who's
Thank
on
you, Mike. Good one.
So I'm going to agree with Mike. I'm going to go with Josh Allen. He had passing and rushing yardage combined, 378 total yards. He accounted for all but 42 yards of the offense. That's 90% of the offense. Passing completion was still over 74%. It's got to be Allen.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm actually going to go with someone slightly different, only because his catches were so meaningful in the places that in the time he caught it, and they all seemed to be like toe-tapping catches, and that was Gabriel Davis, the Bills' rookie wide receiver. He showed up big today in a big spot.
50 yards, no touchdowns.
Yeah, that guy. I thought he came through though when it mattered, especially for being a rookie. Caught all four receptions or all four targets, four receptions. So I have some nicknames I want to throw out to you guys about Gabriel Davis, and you guys can let me know. You know what? You guys are just gonna crap all over him. I'm not even gonna bother giving them to you because I know how you are. So even if I say and you might actually like them, you'll be like, this is terrible.
I think the nickname selection process are independent events, right? So like we disagree with you about Beasley because it's not applicable. It makes no sense. There's a perfect one that goes with his physical attributes that everyone can see. It's on full display like a peacock on every play. That's why Goldilocks with his luscious mane make perfect sense. He occasionally catches a ball on third down. Yeah.
Yeah.
But John and I will separate that out. And if you have a good game, a good name, I think we get behind you 100%.
I agree with Mike completely. I also just want to throw in here that Beasley on third down, his, what's the stat here? It's 11%. 11% of Buffalo's third down conversions have been to Cole Beasley. So that's not very high. So I don't know why you would put third and Cole there when it's only 11% of the third downs.
I'll tell you why. Because he thinks he was enamored with third and goal. It's not even third downs, John. That would be indefensible because of the statistics you provided. But it's not even that tiny little universe. It's actually only third and goal plays that he thinks Beasley shines.
Oh, no, I don't think he shines on third and goal. I just like that Cole rhymes with goal. So what you're saying to me is you definitely won't be non-biased when hearing these new amazing nicknames for Gabriel Davis. Okay, that's okay. I won't share them then.
Absolutely not. Throw them at us.
No, yeah, sure you do. You just
go ahead.
Okay. So they all have to do with him catching the ball near the sidelines, okay? Uh-huh. Gabriel Davis, the toe drag titan.
I don't like the word titan.
Yeah.
What else I got? Okay. All right. So I'm starting with the worst one, hopefully.
If you played for the Titans, right?
Like I was,
is the next one like, oh, the perimeter patriot.
I have the perimeter practitioner. Oh, you like that one because you said perimeter first.
I was trying to. I don't like the first one because it says Titans.
Yeah, because there's another team. I was trying to think of a toe drag T word, like a T. And I just saw Avengers, so I thought Titan. But I was thinking, you know, toe drag something. How about this one? So I have the perimeter practitioner or the sideline surgeon.
For me.
You're like, ooh, I hate them all. They're all shit. What were you going to say?
I like perimeter, but perimeter practitioner doesn't like roll off the tongue. But sideline surgeon, it's like a little easier to say.
Yeah, true. There's a lot less syllables in that one.
Also, we only done it those two times.
That's why it's perfect to come up with a nickname. He's done that before. I feel like in previous games he's done that. This is starting to become a thing where he just happens to find the... He did that, I want to say, either last week or the week before. So this is starting to become a thing. Hence the nickname. That's exactly why Third and Cole became a thing.
Let me ask you this, right? Like,
okay.
A nickname, I feel like there's something to be said for brevity. Like when you see somebody in the locker room, you're not going to be like, hey, sideline surgeon. Like, see, if the nickname is side. You know, like maybe, like, are you planning it to be shortened very drastically, very quickly? Like, it starts off as like, oh, he's a sideline surgeon, and then it goes to sideline, and then it goes to side. Like, oh, that's a nickname. Like, T-Bone.
Yeah, I kind of like
Green, and people called him Mean Joe. It's mean that's Joe. Better, but you know,
Mean Joe Green. Oh, of course that's better. But like that, like the refrigerator Perry. Like those are all. Those are all cool nicknames. You can call them Fridge. What's up, Fridge?
House Ballard.
House Ballard, yeah. Yeah, it's gotta be simple. Like House Money.
Simple, succinct.
Okay. So all right, so we'll work on it. The surgeon, Gabriel Davis, the surgeon. I mean, there's only so many things that you can do for like names like Mean Joe Green. Like that's literally just his name with mean in front of it. Like that's it's not that crazy of a nickname. You're just describing that he's mean. Like, why can't I say Great Gabriel Davis? Like, that's a similar, you know.
Maybe if he was a doctor, too, that would work.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was actually a medical surgeon. Yeah, that makes sense. Fair enough. All right, well.
I wonder if anybody's gone to medical school just because they wanted the nickname Doc.
That's a great question. Jamie McAndrew. So let's go into our Wall of Shamer or Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers when I open it up to Twitter each and every week. Jamie McAndrew, which I'll give you a pass this time, Jamie, even though you wrote it in the Gettysburg section. I will read yours first. Actually, he or she is getting rewarded for that botch. So well done, Jamie. Talk about people playing 3D chess. Jamie, he's playing 3D chess, getting their tweet read first. Wall of Fame. Entire roster, but Bass has a huge set of bollocks on him. That is just an awesome sentence I just read right there. We didn't give any credit to Tyler Bass today, and he had two huge field goals. Rookie kicker, I mean, they compared him to the other rookie kicker. God, I can't remember his name right now, but I mean, that guy looked flustered compared to Tyler Bass, and Tyler Bass had to kick a 54-yarder today. Just goes to show you, I mean,
right record, right? Longest field goal by a rookie in the postseason.
Yep. That was, I mean, the guy, trust the process, man. At the beginning of this season, I don't know if any of us would have said Tyler Bass makes the difference in the postseason or the down the stretch. And he has this season. He's done an amazing job and he's a rookie. It's unbelievable. Wall of Shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Jamie writes, our defense was a bit too holy. Sweet Sassy. Oh, he's doing his sweet. Sweet Sassy Malassi plays the game. Diggs touchdown. Great change of play when we were about to run. The Gettysburg is a 10-point swing at the end of the second quarter. That took a massive gamble. They took a massive gamble and lost. And now I'm going into the tweet thread that I wrote. Lots of people getting in. Appreciate all you guys doing. We're going to try to read as many as we can. Big Baller Beanie writes, Wall of Fame, Allen and Gabe, Mr. Perimeter Davis. So she has a nickname. I think that was the one they used in the telecast. Gabe, Mr. Perimeter Davis. You guys like that better than the sideline surgeon?
I like your ideas. I just think they could be truncated a little bit.
Yeah, I do. I do tend to. Yeah. Yeah. I've always had that issue. Okay.
Oh, they're just like, they're kernels. That's why we're working through them. We're talking about them.
So I'm going to talk about him in this podcast, and we'll keep it going. If he does any more, maybe we can text him back and forth during the game. Maybe we'll come up with something better. I will not yield on Third and Cold. That's still the best one. But if you, I mean, Coldilocks is pretty nice. I will say that. A couple of people tweeted at me, Mike. She also writes, Big Baller Beanie writes, both lit it up when they had the opportunity to. She's talking about Allen and Gabe Davis. While of shame, the defense, specifically Matt Milano, sadly, and Brian Daboll for trying to jam the run down our throats. First playoff win in my life. If you need to see how excited I was, I tweeted a video. I did actually see that on Instagram. So she actually, that's something that, we forget. We were talking about the AFC East division win a few weeks back and talk about how important today is and how many people like that affects. Like, you know, she's a young Bills fan. There's a lot of young fans that have never seen a playoff win. I mean, hell, we haven't seen one since we were kids. And how big today is. I mean, just in the moment of importance and like how many people, you know, either aren't around to see it anymore or, you know, just, I don't know. It's kind of a good feeling. It's something that, you know, we're all sharing as a fan base together. I've had friends that aren't even Bills fans that have texted me and congratulated me on the Bills winning today because, you know, they know how much it means to me and, you know, a lot of us. Do you guys have anything you want to add to what Beanie said about, you know, what it meant to you? She cried in the video, by the way. Spoiler alert, she cried. I guess we kind of mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast, but did it mean anything to you since the last time we watched the Bills win a playoff game?
Well, definitely. I think part of it for me is you mentioned it before, the expectations. So, like, I expected them to win this game. I expect them this year, heading into the playoffs, to make it to at least the AFC Championship game, which is weird to say considering they hadn't won a playoff game since 1995 season, 96. Obviously it's super important, and, you know, obviously we all got emotional here when it happened. Part of me was already looking ahead during the game and before the game, and I don't know if that put a damper on, you know, the amount of emotions I was feeling at the time or not, if that makes any sense.
I like it. I feel the same, right? Like, we've talked before when we were growing up, it just felt like a birthright to, geez, get to the Super Bowl, at least deep into the playoffs. And it hasn't felt like that ever. But when you're the 2 seed, if you don't get at least to the, just based on seeding alone, it's disappointing if you can't get to the AFC Championship game for sure. So a little bit of relief that we're moving on, like ecstatic when that ball was not batted down, but you felt like they were going to win the whole, like,
yeah,
the 2 seed.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. I think expectations changed it a little bit. You know, what's funny is, people, you talked, Mike, about the birthright of going to Super Bowls. I think a lot of the younger listeners and fans don't remember, like, even the comeback game. And I mean, we were kids for it, but like the Bills were so used to going to the playoffs in Super Bowls that like the Bills had lost, I think, 3 at that time or 2 or 3 at that time. And that game wasn't even sold out. Like the comeback game was not sold out. So if you lived in like the Rochester area, like we do, like you couldn't watch the game. You had to listen to it on the radio because back then, there were the blackout rules where if the game wasn't sold out or something like 90% capacity, then you couldn't see the game. So
I see the game.
Yeah, you got to see the game. How?
I wasn't there. I'm not one of the 250,000 people that were there apparently that day. But we did have an antenna that got the signal out of Syracuse. It was a little fuzzy, but we were able to see the game.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's funny. Yeah, everyone mentions they.
Rich John.
Are you rich, John? Is that what you asked?
Yeah.
John, are you rich?
An antenna.
that was the antenna over my the servants' quarters house, John or Mike. That was the pool house is where the antenna ran from.
No, it was in the attic.
But yeah, lots of people I know from Buffalo have said they went to that game, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, it's funny thinking back at that moment that people were just, we're begging for playoff games, like, you know, to be able to go to a game. 6,700 people were able to go today, and like how many, that place would be packed. And at that point, nobody went to to the games because they were just like, yeah, we've seen this before. They're probably going to win, and then we'll wait to watch them in the Super Bowl. And it's cold out. We don't want to go. Whereas Ralph Wilson used to buy tickets for the team or for the game so fans could watch it on TV when it was like, you know, really close to being sold out. He'd buy like the last, you'd always see like Ralph Wilson buys the last 5,000 tickets. Like, crazy.
He was awesome. But isn't that like, let me think of an analogy. So you're pimping the T Public store. Isn't that like you buying your own stuff?
Yes.
Like, who gets the money from Ralph Wilson buying Bill tickets? Ralph Wilson.
Yeah, I think he still has to give a cut of that though to like the league, doesn't he?
No, I mean, quite. I'm not saying like.
Why wasn't he buying out every single game possible? 20,000 tickets to him—that's nothing.
I just bought a new car from myself. Like, I don't know what. You tell me what the.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. I get it. You don't have to bring the TeePublic store into it, man. By the way, teepublic.com/stores/ctwpod. It's a good lead in for it. We have a lot of great shirts on there, playoff shirts. So check that out. 30% off this week. Buffalo Ceilings writes, Wall of Fame, doing whatever it takes to get the first home playoff win in 25 years. It was ugly, but nothing else matters. Wall of Shame, the right side of the O-line really struggled. But for shame, it has to be the refs and the non-fumble call when Poyer clearly ripped the ball from a wide receiver that had gotten up. Yeah, absolutely. The refs deserve to be in the Wall of Shame for sure. Devin Brown writes, Wall of Fame, Josh, as is tradition, Wall of Shame to that absolute BS fumble call at the end of the game. Phil Zone Ready writes, now Phil Zone Ready actually messaged me and said, don't read my Wall of Fame, Wall of Shame tweet. So I'm going to read it anyway because it's always more fun to read that. But he does, you know.
That's like whenever you get like a, when you're at work on Outlook and you get a message like, this person wants to recall it. Like, I've only 50% chance I was going to read the original, but now I'm like, huh.
100% absolutely going to read what they said. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah.
You read it.
Drop everything to read it. You're on a phone call. Hold on. I gotta put you on hold. I gotta read this. Let me call you back, Jeff. I gotta read this email that was recalled. Jeff would be like, I completely understand, Mike. Call me back after you've read it. Let me know if they ended up talking crap about the person that they sent the email. That's all you're hoping for. Phil Zone Ready does, in his defense, right, I'm mentally exhausted. Wall of Fame, Gabriel Davis, if it weren't for his two remarkable catches in the first half, we would have been dead in the water. What a rookie performance. Wall of Shame, Andre Roberts, muffed kick, then the poor decisions to take it out both back-to-back. Yeah, we haven't talked a lot about Andre Roberts today. So the Bills God writes, Wall of Fame, Josh putting the offense on his back. Wall of Shame, the run defense. B. Mormon 2020 writes, Wall of Fame, Diggs, playoff mojo, and Bass. Wall of Shame, the pass D, how Dable sprinkled in the run all at once for three and out. Good point there. We discussed that. Michael Taylor writes, Wall of Fame, geez, Diggs, I guess. Gabriel Davis, the Colts being too aggressive. Rodrigo Blankenship, maybe. A Wall of Shame, Brian Dable. Someone else can have him. The defense was atrocious. This was the least satisfying win I've ever seen. Wow, Mike coming in off the top rope on Brian Dable. I love it. I love strong takes here. Kathleen writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, Gabe Davis, Tyler Bass. Special mention to the Williams fumble recoveries. Wall of Shame, Andre Roberts led to the Bills starting inside the 15 more than once. Defense coverage of the Colts tight ends, not good. The referees, it was a fumble. Kathleen succinctly put that. How did you fit that into 160 characters, Kathleen? David writes, he just writes, we won a tough game, no Wall of Shame. It's the playoffs, and that was an 11-win team. Absolutely. Good point. We forget that. We forget that the seventh seed isn't a 6-10 team like it is in the NFC. It's an 11-5 team. Airstrike Allen, that's a good one. I like that one. Airstrike Allen writes, Wall of Fame, Diggs and Hyde. Wall of Shame, I'm pretty disappointed in our defense and what it let the Colts do and our run game is not that impressive. I say we bring Williams back and see how he does. Turning point was the overhead TD pass to Diggs. That was a great touchdown pass. Rob Zach. By the way, sometimes when I struggle reading these tweets, it's obviously sometimes because of my inability to read, but sometimes you guys don't necessarily bring the grammar, so I'm just saying. It's not all me, if that's what you're thinking at home. Don't confuse the tweeters with the listeners, because there's only like 50 people that tweet us, and there's like a few more listeners than that. Rob Zach writes, Wall of Fame, winning the damn game. Tyler Bass, Beasley for playing hurt. Yeah, Beasley looked... He came up limping. I thought he was going to be taken out of the game, but he kept coming in. Kept coming in to get third down conversions. Wall of Shame, not having the Indy fumble overturned. Defense struggled all game. Josh Allen, hero ball. Take the sack. It's funny because like I say take the sack too, for sure. But then part of me is like, well, maybe he'll spin out of it. Because he always looks like he might just spin out of it sometimes. Rob Galise writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, Wall of Shame, gods of starting field position. The review official, yeah, the field position did not go well for the Bills, at least in the first half for sure. Review officials, I thought the Gettysburg play of the game was a long touchdown pass to Diggs, but by the end of the game, it was almost forgotten. Let's go with the Hail Mary defense. Rob getting it all in. Henry Booth writes, Wall of Fame, Allen, and an awesome win today. First playoff win for my life, so it was fun to see. Well, congratulations, Henry. Wall of Shame, defense didn't play great, and the refs almost blew it on the fumble. Bills Loser QB Club writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, JA17, regardless of some bad sacks he took. He kept us in the game all day with 324 passing, 54 rushing, 3 total touchdowns, and 121 passer rating. Wall of Shame, secondary had a real hard time isolating the Colts tight ends and caused long scoring drives that kept them in the game. Gettysburg, T. Bass. The Bills cannot cover tight ends. That is something that they have to take a look at in the offseason. Or maybe fix before the end of the postseason. That'd be great, too.
That is also a strength of the Colts, too, to be fair. They like to throw a lot to their running backs and tight ends. They've been very successful at it.
Yeah, we see what happens when Phillip Rivers tries to air the ball out to his receivers. So, yeah, they've been very good this year. Welcome to Slam Diego writes, Wall of Fame, Josh, Diggs, Beasley, and our Hail Mary defense. That's so funny that they're actually on the Wall of Fame. The Hail Mary defense was on the Wall of Shame just what it feels like just a few weeks ago. Wall of Shame, our defense, once we got up 14. The refs for giving Indy an extra second every time the clock hit zero and fucking us over on the fumble. Now, Steve Tharp writes in, Wall of Fame, Allen coming up big in the passing game and accounting for most of our rushing yards. Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs coming through big like he's done all season. Yeah, there's one person you didn't have to worry about is Stephon Diggs. Remember there was that huge catch he had just a few years ago against the Saints to win that game for the Vikings all by himself. So stage was definitely not too big for Stephon Diggs. Wall of Shame, the refs, that was a fumble. Our defensive line for not touching Rivers all day, and our tackling was terrible. Good call by Steve Tharp. We could not get pressure on Phillip Rivers all day long by our defensive ends, at least our defensive line.
Yep, no sacks, no takeaways either.
Yeah, how didn't the defense end up on our Wall of Shame? Andrew Naik writes, Wall of Fame, Gabe, Allen's head up to Knox. Allen's head's up to Knox. Hail Mary defense and Allen. Josh said at the end he felt like he didn't do much, and he still had a good day. Wall of Shame running into a wall 3 times in a row. The defense let them score too quickly sometimes, and how is that not a fumble? The defense letting there was one time where the Colts basically ran the ball the whole drive, and they scored in 2 minutes right after the Bills went up. I think it was when they went up 14 points. 2-minute drive to score another 7. That's great. Private Joker 2003, our favorite private, even though he's not a private in the military. At least we hope you're not a private. You'll have to update us next week. Wall of Fame would have been Josh, but the sack and fumble knocked him down a peg. I'll give it to Tremaine Edmonds. He was wreaking havoc everywhere, both in the run and pass. Good call. We haven't heard about Tremaine Edmonds yet today. Wall of Shame, the officials for not doing the right thing on the Pascal fumble. That was a sympathy ruling. The Violet Wanderers here, queer and used to it, writes in Wall of Fame Josh Allen. He kept his cool, didn't go into hero mode, and despite a couple of bad plays, continued to show the growth he's had all season. Wall of Shame, the referees for the awful call on the Pascal fumble. My Colts fan father-in-law even said it was a bad call. You know it's bad when, like, the fans of the team are actually like, yeah, that was a bad call. Edgar Donnybrook writes, Wall of Fame, getting the monkey off the back, Tyler Bass exercising demons of Scott Norwood. Gabe Davis with the beautiful toe taps. Wall of Shame, Dable. I feel like he coached himself out of head coaching jobs. The office meme you fools posted and freaked me out. I did post an office meme on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Check us out. Check it out there on all of those. And yeah, it's kind of how we were all feeling. Honorable mention for Wall of Fame, Frank Reich, clearly coaching to help his beloved Bills. Christopher Allgraff writes, Wall of Fame, Gabriel Davis, honorable mention to all of the drop passes by the Colts today. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Wall of Shame, the defense, too many yards allowed. Let's go, Buffalo. Big R writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen showed today he's the MVP. He was the entire offense. Gabe the Ballerina Davis. Oh, we have another one. We have another nickname. People just throwing out nicknames. Gabe the Ballerina Davis with those tiptoes. What do you guys think about that one? Ruling on that one? I kind of like that one better.
It's definitely better than any of yours.
Ouch. Yeah, that's fair. But do you want a ballerina to be like the nickname for a football player?
I don't know. Lynn Swan was named Bambi.
No.
Would there be a spelling difference between ballerina and ballerina?
I think it would just be a hyphen, right? Ballerina, because I think ballerina is the same. Oh, maybe that's what he meant. The ballerina, because there's two L's, and that's how you spell ball. Yeah. Okay, that must be what Big R meant, the ballerina. So John was...
Much credit.
So John was ready to give him the...
Ballerina would be spelled the same, right? Like B-A-L-L-E-R-I-N-A.
Yeah.
But, like, it's, like, I don't know if a football player would want to be called a ballerina, but a ballerina, like, sounds more masculine.
Ballerina does, yeah. I like, yeah.
I'm so, I also apologize. I don't know what I was thinking. Lance Allworth was named... Nicknamed Bambi, not Lynn Swan. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, next time get it right, John, for your 70s Steelers trivia, okay?
Allworth played it before then.
You guys message me, and which one do you like? Do you like the sideline surgeon, the ballerina, Davis, the Mr. Perimeter? Let us know what you guys think. Obviously, Big R is going to like the ballerina. He also writes, Diggs and Tyler Bass, 54-yard field goal in the cold was the difference. Wall of Shame, the Bills D, and the refs for raising my blood pressure. The Gettysburg play of the game, the Bass field goal from the parking lot. Yes. From the parking lot. Nice. Sean Lonigan writes in, Wall of Fame, Williams for picking up that ball. If not, we are looking at Houston all over again. That guy is going to be swinging his big dick around all around the Orchard Park titty bars this week. Just mask up. I keep on forgetting how much I love Sean Lonigan's tweets. Wall of Shame, Matt Milano. Love you, but keep it up, and I'll see you at Geico break room for lunch. Dude, Sean, you got the keep it up, but I'll see you at the Sean, always, I love how he just pimps where he works all the time. Attractive Nuisance writes, she says, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, he basically won us the game on his own. Wall of Shame, the defense. I don't know what happened, but it's like they reverted to the beginning of the season. Yeah. Josh Rinkin writes, Wall of Fame, Daryl Williams with that game-saving fumble recovery. Way to go, Daryl. I love how he says that. Yeah. Good job, man. Wall of Shame, Brian Dable. 2019 Brian Dable has reared his ugly face in the game that mattered the most. He better get it together for the next game. It only gets harder from here. Let's go, Bills. Oh. I can't say I disagree with that. Nate Winchilla writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen and the offensive line. Daryl Williams for recovering the fumble, Gabe Davis and the Stephon Diggs. Wall of Shame, the defense, he writes in all caps. The run game and referees. I'm gonna go down to the bottom. I feel like these people don't get enough run. So I feel like I'm gonna do a few of these from the bottom. Alex Hans? Why do I think of Hans Gruber right then? Alex Hans writes, Wall of Fame, Allen Diggs, hashtag third and Cole. Thank you, Alex. Defense, and they had to step up. The defense when they had to step up, he writes. Wall of Shame, Dable's running plays in the first half, the officials and the defense when they didn't have to step up. Brian Mangrum writes, Wall of Fame is Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. Wall of Shame is Dable's play calling. Charles Bright writes in, Gettysburg has to be the fourth down stop in the red zone that led us to taking the lead into halftime. Playoff Bill, as you guys know, is Brother Bill. He writes in Bills by hashtag Bills by a billion. He writes Wall of Fame, Micah Hyde and Josh Allen. Wall of Shame, first half, Brian Dable. Bills Mafia writes, wow, just the Bills Mafia writes in. That's nice. Wall of Fame, Josh, Poyer plus Hyde, Gabe Davis, Diggs, Beasley. Our O-line gave up one or two sacks the whole game, I believe. And then the Wall of Shame, basically he wrote the entire team, I believe. Bills Mafia. Well, Bills represents the entire fan base, Bills Mafia. Wall of Shame, our entire D-line. And honestly, Milano, even though I love him. Yeah. D-line had a poor game. So this is one, my Spanish is terrible, and I think this is Spanish. Aporoco de Boriche como mao caratismo. Now, I know I screwed that up, but he wrote it all in English. So he or she wrote Wall of Fame, Tyler Bass for not missing the game-winning field goal. Wall of Shame, the run defense. Hope they don't face Derrick Henry next week. Oh my goodness. Could you imagine Derrick Henry after what Jonathan Taylor did to the Bills today? Josh Allen, Stan Counter writes, Wall of Fame, Diggs and Gabriel Davis. Wall of Shame, the Bills defense and refs for trying to screw the Bills over as much as possible. Per huge, Zach Vaughn writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, Cole Beasley. Wall of Shame, the Bills D up to the last drive and the refs. Gettysburg play is the last drive in the first half. Turnover on downs to the touchdown, 14-point swing, which we mentioned. Thank you for saying that. John Davis, former Bills offensive lineman, John Davis is in. He writes, and I'm not joking when I say that, because some people write it in John Davis. No, he has a check mark to prove it. John Davis, at John Davis underscore 65. He writes, the fans. Nice. Wall of, former Bills player giving the props to the fans. I can't disagree with that. Love it. And I'm going to like it right now as I'm looking at Twitter. Like. Bills Blitzkrieg writes in, Wall of Fame, all of us that survived that game. Wall of Shame, can't do it this week. Too happy. It's awesome. And I'll do one more. This better be good. Primetime Dylan writes, Wall of Fame, Bass-O-Matic, nailing the biggest kick of his life from 54 yards out. Wall of Shame, the refs making me sweat out the final minutes of the game. That was a clear fumble and an unbelievable play by Poyer. Absolutely. Guys, thank you guys for all writing in for that. The Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at Delago. Thank you guys all for writing in for that. We normally do our DraftKings Sportsbook at Delago odds for the next Bills game, but at the point where we're recording this, we don't know who the Bills are playing next week, so we can't really speculate into that. Want to give a quick shout out, though, to a couple of our listeners, Ryan and Chelsea. They're our favorite listeners, actually, from the state of Hawaii, and they're the only ones that we know of at this moment. But they sent us a cool care package this is the second time they've done it. They wrote a nice letter, a nice note. They are listeners from, since we first started Buffalo Rumblings, maybe even before that. So you're talking almost 4 years now. And they sent us some cool, like, different macadamia nut things, which you wouldn't believe. It's very hard to find those here in New York State. So they sent us that stuff. So I want to send out an appreciated shout out to them, completely unnecessarily, but utterly appreciated to both Ryan and Chelsea and their family for doing that. This time, unlike last time where basically I ate everything in quarantine, they said last year, I'm going to save some of this for you guys. When I can actually see Mike and John in person and not worry about anything, I will give you guys that. I will share these items with you.
Wait, when did they send the last one? For Christmas?
No, it was like in March of last year, right before the pandemic really hit. So it was so good. It was like chocolate covered macadamia nuts. They had like honey glazed macadamia nuts. Like, do you guys like honey roasted peanuts? It's like your favorite thing. Well, this was like 10 times better than that. So imagine that. I'd be sitting down here working in my basement and be like, oh, I'm just going to have like 10 of these. And then, like, you know, it'd be like 25. Okay. I got to stop. It's a 25 later. So want to do a shout out to them. So thank you guys all for listening to our first playoff win recap podcast that we've ever done in the history of Circling the Wagons. And it's so good to be doing that with you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you that is. I can't forget the giveaways. Cannot forget the giveaways. We have 3 giveaways again this week for our listeners. A lot of you guys have been leaving us reviews. For some reason, Apple Podcast wasn't showing anything past December 8th, and all of a sudden we realized we had like 7 or 8 of them. So thank you guys all for leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you're wondering, that's how you can be part of these giveaways that we do every single week on the podcast. This week we have a Harrison Phillips signed jersey, a Tremaine Edmonds signed jersey, and some cool swag from our partners over at the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Now, luckily they have like some polo shirts still available. If you want one of those, they're cool. Like, they're either Nike or Callaway. They're awesome. And then they have some t-shirts and swag there. So, appreciate them, offering those prizes up to us. So we have 3 winners this week. The first winner is JGager88. That's J-G-A-G-E-R 88. J-Gager 88 is the first winner. The second winner is at the Jeff 89. The Jeff 89 is the second winner. And the third winner is Joey G-N-Y. That's Joey G-N-Y. So the first person to get back to me gets their choice of prizes. Again, that's the Harrison Phillips signed jersey, the Tremaine Edmonds signed jersey, and the DK swag from our friends over at the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. And so the first one to get back to me gets their choice. And if you guys want to message me over Twitter, over Facebook, Instagram, whatever is easiest, or email us, ctwpod@gmail.com. That's also a great place to do it. So thank you guys all for listening. So signing off for John.
Nobody. Circles the Wagons, the Buffalo Bills.
So for Mike?
What an awesome game. Enjoy it all week, and we'll see you back here next time. Cannot wait.
Cannot wait. And for me, Nate, go Bills. First playoff win in 25 years. We came, we saw, we conquered. We kicked its ass.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Let's go enjoy this Bills song by Dom Brown.
Yeah. It's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. It's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. It's the mafia, I'm with the Buffalo Bills. It's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. Hey, hey. Who you reppin', what's your team? Who you reppin', what's your team? You know I'm reppin' for my team. I got that talent on my team. Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, can you catch it? Can you? Trade day is like a mask, you not catching anything. Matt Milano making plays, we not scared of any team. Best in the AFC, all the praise of Brandon Bean. You hear Sean McDermott clapping while I'm snapping? Do you? Jerry Hughes will get the sack soon as you snap it. Yeah. Andre Roberts running back, ain't no just backing. Mafia, we on a ride and we got traction. We got Beasley, we got Diggs. McKenzie make you miss. Dawson Knox with the stiff arm, treat opponents just like his. Feliciano, Deion Dawkins, block defenders like the fence. Hey, it's the mafia. I said no one on top of us. I said no one is blocking us on top of our division. So it's clear that it's no stopping us. Google best team in the league and we popping up. Hey, who you reppin'? What's your team? Who you reppin'? What's your team? You know I'm reppin' for my team. I got the salad on my team. It's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. Yeah. It's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. It's the mafia, I'm with the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. It's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. Hey, it's the mafia, I said no one on top of us. I said no one is blocking us on top of our division. So it's clear that it's no stopping us. Google best team in the league and we popping up. Home game for the playoffs, but you already snow. Gabe Davis is a rookie, but he playing like a pro. Going through a table, only time we ever fold. Can you dig it? 17, about to take us to the bowl. Hey,
Don't you run it? No. Oliver and Trey Edmonds gon' be on it. On it. We got Corey, but we barely ever punt it. Never. Cause we just running up the score on our opponent. We got Beasley, we got Diggs. Singletary, by the juke, I'm out of shoes. Make a miss, run it in. Zach also throw the digs. It's for sick. Terry Johnson, pick six. To the house, take a flick. Hey, it's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. Hey, it's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. Yeah. It's the mafia, I'm with the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. It's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. Hey, hey, hey. Who you reppin'? What's your team? Hey. Who you reppin'? What's your team? Hey. You know I'm reppin' for my team.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
So we'll see you in Buffalo in January. Be ready. It might be chilly.